All right. Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you, big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, July 5th, 2024, and today we're starting off in the big book, chapter 3, page 30, More About Alcoholism. We're reading that first paragraph, which starts with, most of us have been unwilling to admit, and ending with, into the gates of insanity or death. All right, our readers, for the steps, we have Paul P. For the traditions, we have Tenzin P. Taking care of the text is Nancy R. Page 164 is Susan S.H. Our backup readers, Anne-Marie M. Newcomer greeters, Vanita L. Second hour host is Jeannie B. And announcements is Kathy S. All right, the reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, July 4th, 2024, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,546. That's 21,545. 21,545. The 10 a.m. meeting Eastern Time was 21,546. 21,546. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Paul P. is going to take care of the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Star one, Paul.
Thank you, Russ, for your service. Paul P., compulsive overeater. These are the steps we have taken to suggest that a program of recovery. One, we admitted we are powerless over food and our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all people we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continuously to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our consciousness contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcohol compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I pass and thank you for having me do service today.
Thanks, Paul. Next up is Tenzin P. with the 12 Traditions.
Good morning, Ross. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, OA Readers Anonymous should remain fairly non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we are starting out in Chapter 3, more about alcoholism, that first paragraph, starting with most of us have been unwilling, ending with into the gates of insanity or death. And Nancy R. is going to start us off today with the reading.
Good morning, Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Therefore, it is not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it to the gates of insanity or death. So this just brings up memories of when I was first introduced to Overeaters Anonymous. No, not even that. First introduced the idea that I was insane where it came to eating. And I took offense at that. I was like, insane is a pretty strong word. I have a problem, definitely have a problem, and I don't know what to do about it. Nothing works. But to, you know, be told that I was insane or as the text says, bodily and mentally different from others, was hard to swallow. And I didn't want to. And thankfully, even though I didn't like all that, I listened to this person who I respected and you know, took that person's suggestion to attend an OA meeting. And I am bodily and mentally different from my fellows. We're at a local baseball game and fireworks display last night. And, you know, there were people around me that I could say were in my head, judge that, and I was judging that they were compulsive overeaters and insane around food. And the blessing, the real gift that I have today is that while I am bodily and mentally different from others, I have a solution. And that's the through working these steps, this relationship with my higher power that does for me what I cannot do for myself. I wanted, and I still want so bad to be able to control and enjoy my eating. And I neither can control it or enjoy it. And you know, the surprise for me has been, in my recovery, has been that I don't need to control my food in order to enjoy it. I enjoy my food today. I enjoy the food that is on my food plan. I enjoy my non-alcoholic ingredients. There is no deprivation in my life around food today. And, you know, the persistence of some illusion that I can eat like normal eaters, I did pursue into the gates of insanity. And thank God the search party, I listened to the search party 2.5 years ago and have not followed it into the gates of death for today. So thank you.
All right, Nancy. Thank you for starting us off. Appreciate your service. So now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. If you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others to have a chance to share. So who would like to share on this?
Lisa B.
Hold on. I got Lisa B. and I think Chris M.
Christina, Anne Marie M.
Janet B. All right. Loretta, let me see who I got.
Did you get Nancy P? I was sure.
All right. Yep. Nancy, we got you way down. That's when I heard you. Thank you.
Popular paragraph. That's the rush.
I know it. So we got
Russ.
Lisa.
Russ M.
You don't want to hear that guy. All right. I got Lisa B, Chris M, Robin P, Harlan G, Anne Marie, Janet B, Nancy P. I know there was about 19 other people. So, Loretta too. So there's 18 other people.
Thanks, Russ. You got Loretta H. Thanks.
Yeah.
Christine,
so hopefully we could, Christine, 17 other people. All right. Thanks for bearing with me. I'm sorry. So that is our list. We're going to have we'll try to get you next round too. First up is Lisa B, followed by Chris M.
Good morning, Russ. This is Lisa. Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Yep.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina, and I spell my name L-E-S-A. This is such a powerful paragraph, and, you know, I had to look up that word vain because it really jumped out for me. It says, having or showing an excessively high opinion of one's appearance, abilities, or worth. And that jumped out for me because I had to have my perspective of my abilities to be beaten down. A lot of times I would look at my sister and I would see her eating and drinking things, and her life wouldn't go down the drain. You know, she did not lose control. Her life would not fall apart. And I would see her and I'd say, I should be able to eat those things and be okay. You know, what is wrong with me? And I'm so grateful for coming to OA and A Vision for You, because I heard recovered voices. I heard that you could do this happily. To me, abstinence was like sheer hell. It's white knuckle, it's irritability, it's frustration. But I wasn't hearing that in your voices, you know, and that's why I love listening to this meeting. And I'm so grateful today to be able to share and to share on this paragraph, because this is one of my favorite chapters. The other thing is, it talks about insanity, the gates of insanity. And that's what happened to me. The breakdown for me showed in my mind, in my spirit, in my mood, in my emotions. That's really where the fallout was. And it didn't happen until I was in my early 50s that I could get abstinent and recovered. It's now been 8.5 years. Then, but God's grace, these 12 steps, the spiritual awakening, an entire abstinence, understanding who and what I am. I can't do these steps until I get the truth about the food. I can't keep trying to be abstinent while I'm going through the steps. I had to put it all down so I could have the clarity and hear the truth and hear what you guys were saying. And with God's grace, reaching in and changing my heart and changing my mind, you know, today I do this happily and I stay in the work. So thank you all for your service. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. Next up is Chris M, followed by Robin P.
Good morning. This is Chris M. I'm from New York. Happy to be on the line today. So I've been in the program since 1986. Came in as a young woman, 23, I think I was. And I have, until just recently, tried my best, to identify out of this program, even though I kept coming back. You know, I kept trying to be out in the world eating, controlling and enjoying my eating, and feeling miserable, feeling bankrupt emotionally, disconnected spiritually, just terrible, and kept running back. But then I always wanted to identify out. Like, I just never wanted to fully concede to the idea that I am bodily and different than my fellows and people around me, you know. And my big thing was, well, I don't eat like those people. I don't eat the quantity of food that they do. I don't engage in those behaviors that I hear people doing. So I'm better. I'm better than them, and I don't really need to do this work. Because I always focused on the food. You know, it was all about just put down the food and get your body right, and then the world will be nice and good, and you'll be happy. And, you know, years and years of focusing on that has shown me that that's truly, truly not the way to recovery and to recovering my life. I was a restrictor from when I was a teenager. Never was diagnosed with anorexia or bulimia, but skirted it. I was smart enough, I guess, or lucky enough to kind of just skirt the edges of all of that dangerous stuff. So for me, well, I can eat a piece of cake, and I'm not going to eat the whole thing, but eat the piece of cake, Chris, and obsess about it. Obsess, obsess, obsess. Not enjoy it at all. Torture myself with shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, what is this doing to me? Oh, my gosh, you broke your promise to yourself again. The whole hamster wheel of trying to control and enjoy my eating. And why, oh, why am I suffering with this? I'm not that bad of an eater. And just recently, by the grace of God, you know, I heard my sponsor say this. I heard her say it, and then I was like, oh, I need to call that woman to be my sponsor. And then at the end of the call, she put herself out as a sponsor. She said, I came to the end of myself. And I said, wow, yeah, I think I'm at the end of myself. I'm out of ideas. I'm out of ideas. I have no energy left to fight this. And I'm so grateful I'm here today. And for today, I am a compulsive eater, food addict. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Chris. Next up is Robin P., followed by Harlan G.
Hi, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Robin P., and I'm a very grateful recovery compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And sorry for the howler monkeys in the background. My father passed away last night, and he was the healthiest guy. And 2 months ago, he got this massive brain tumor. Took over his whole brain, and he passed. And, you know, I just know I was so insane. You know, I'm so grateful for my abstinence and recovery today, you know, over 8 years. And if this were in the, you know, before recovery, I would have just binged my brains out last night. You know, instead I just, you know, had calls with family and, you know, hugged my husband and reached out, you know, to my dad and my grandmother, my grandfather, and just sent them all love. And because I know that it's a spiritual solution today. I know that the food has nothing for me. And that I get to grow up or I get to grow out. And I just get to grow up today, you know, and just this is life, you know, death is part of everyone's life. And I just get to be, you know, participating in my own recovery today. And I went through those gates. I went through insanity and those gates of hell with the food. You know, I was a low bottom bulimic and anorexic and compulsive overeater. I feel like it's all, for me, it was all the same. And it was this desperate illusion to be in control of the uncontrollable and to worship food instead of God. And so I'm grateful, and I'm so grateful for my God squad and all. I'm on a text thread with a lot of people in this meeting and just getting so much love and prayers for me and my family, and I'm just so grateful. And I was going to fly back for his passing, and my family said, you know, I got to go, and God was so good. You know, I got to go with my husband in the middle of our European trip, come back and say goodbye to him while he was still, you know, conscious and coherent. And my dad conducted an orchestra his whole life, and I starred on Broadway when I was younger, and I got to sing with this orchestra, and I sang for him a song that I'd sung with his orchestra at his bedside, and it meant so much to both of us, and I got to be with him. And so, you know, to watch him leave his body, I really didn't need to do that part, and I'll go back for the memorial. I feel far away, but I know God's got me, and God's got all of us. So thank you. God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day and weekend. Thanks for say pass.
Thanks, Robin. Thinking of you. Very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Next up is Harlan G, followed by Anne-Marie M.
Thanks, Russ, for your service. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. Let's take a look at this chapter, More About Alcoholism. The working title of the chapter was More Truth About Alcoholism, but the fellowship urged Bill strongly to take the word truth out of there. They didn't want to sound like experts on alcoholism, which nobody is. And the chapter is inspired by one of the four books that really influenced this book. Richard Peabody in 1930 wrote a book called The Common Sense of Drinking. And in this book, he had a lot of things that were incorrect. Unfortunately, Peabody died of his own alcoholism in 36 after AA had been formed, which he didn't know about. But Richard Peabody had a couple of things that were correct. And Bill Wilson's copy of this book is so vital that it's in the AA archives as we are here this morning. Let's take a look at this and let's take a look at the paragraph in 3 minutes here. First of all, Richard Peabody noted that the illness of alcoholism not only had, he didn't know about the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind, but those are its two characteristics. But the three traits of the illness are that it is permanent. It is progressive. It gets worse over time, whether we are eating or not. And if untreated, it is fatal. And the chapter will illustrate every one of those things. We're not going to read about men who were drunk and couldn't get sober. We're going to read about people who were sober and, based on a lie that they told themselves, picked up a drink. But very quickly here, no person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. I outweighed everybody from the earliest age imaginable, and I wanted to believe that I was like them, and I am not, and that I've had countless vain attempts called dieting to prove I could eat like other people, because another lie that I believed is if I lost weight, I'd be okay, because that's what the world told me. And when I lost weight through dieting, I was miserable and I was not like other people, and losing weight did not solve my problem. The idea that somehow someday he will control and enjoy his drinking simultaneously is the great obsession. Obsession is something that appears real, but it is not. An obsession is something that pushes all thought to the contrary, and the persistence of this illusion, that's what appears real but is not, sorry, got ahead of myself there, is astonishing. We pursue it to death. I pursued it to 700 pounds. I pursued it to going on my first date with a girl. I was 35 years old. I pursued it to the point where I did not want to live. I love this life. Have a great day, everybody. Russ, thanks for your service. Let's enjoy this magical chapter. Thanks.
Thanks, Harlan. Next up is Anne-Marie M., followed by Janet B.
Good morning. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, a recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and by working the 12 steps from this book, Alcoholics Anonymous. I have several big books. Every time I got a new sponsor, they said, get a new book and start off for fresh. And so I just found this one on the shelf. And I had some notes here. What stood out to me this morning is that no person likes to think of that he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. I did not believe that I was bodily different. I didn't believe, you know, when I first came in and they talked about sugar being as addictive as a drug, I thought these people are a little bit fanatical for me. And I really couldn't buy that. So I noted on this page here, on page 22, and then I also learned that when it is, many things are repeated over and over in this book, and that is to help us to really understand that it's a strong point. So on the bottom of page 22, it says, we are equally positive that once he takes any alcohol, whatever, into his system, something happens. both in the bodily and mentally, in the mental sense. And then on page 92, it's also mentioned, continue to speak of, now that this is working with alcohol, working with others, this chapter, continue to speak of alcoholism as an illness, a fatal malady. Talk about the conditions of the body and mind. So certainly I have a physical addiction as well as a mental obsession. It's a physical, for me, it's a physical addiction and a mental obsession. And until I could accept both of those things, I could not get, abstinent. And I needed to do a lot more work for me to stay abstinent. I needed to have a God that, of my understanding, that I knew that I could rely on. So that's been my my path. It's learning, continuing to connect with my higher power and to continue in a relationship with that higher power. This chapter helps. I think this is the most important chapter for me that I can relate to. Jim's story, Fred's story, the jaywalker, we're going to talk about all of that over and over and over again. I kept trying, and I could relate to that. I could relate to all of them, and I'll pass. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Anne Marie. And before Janet B. jumps up on here, let me let you know where we're at. Obviously, we're in More About Alcoholism, Chapter 3, page 30, that first paragraph. All right, Janet B., you're up.
Hey, good morning. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Well, of course we're unwilling to admit we're real compulsive eaters, because that's like admitting we're on a runaway train with no brakes, right? It's so scary. I'm on a runaway train with no brakes. What do I do? And they're telling me the first thing I have to do is admit I'm on that runaway train with no brakes. Okay, I did. Maybe a couple years into Overeaters Anonymous, I saw I'm on a runaway train with no brakes. And you know what that did for me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because, right, if you're on a runaway train with no brakes, whether you realize it or not, nothing's going to happen. I need outside intervention. I would need someone from the outside to come in and stop the train miraculously. And that's what this program is about. This program is about miracles. You know, it says the second sentence here that we're bodily and mentally different from my fellows. If I've got a mental issue when it comes to food, I can't think my way out of this. And what does our book tell us in chapter 5? It says, once the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. So it tells me that the reason I'm a runaway train with no brakes is because I have a spiritual malady. And if it's a spiritual malady, I need a spiritual solution. And the solution put forth in this book is a spiritual experience. It's exactly God coming in and doing a renovation job on our hearts. We talked about it last chapter, but page 25 tells us that we've had deep and effective spiritual experiences. What good is it if it's deep, if it's not effective at removing my food obsession, at putting the brakes on that runaway train? And it tells us why. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous, right? This program, in essence, is about how to have a miracle in 12 simple but not always easy steps. And it continues and says, He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. And I'll just tell you, for me, when I surrendered my entire life to God, God put the brakes on this runaway train, and that was just His opening act. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Janet. Next up is Nancy P., followed by Loretta H. Star one, Nance.
Sorry about that, Russ. I wasn't unmuted. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So this is the second half of step one. And our lives were unmanageable. or semicolon, that our lives were unmanageable. So whether I'm eating or not, my life is unmanageable. Today, 6.5 years in, not hurting myself with food under any circumstances, my life is still unmanageable. And today, I know who I am and I know who I'm not. And that applies to everything in my life. I don't, you know, I always say one of my tools for me would be shut up and listen, because I never listened. I was told thousands and thousands of times that I'm bodily and mentally different from my fellows. I mean, I read it, I went to meetings, I was sponsored, you know, I did all kinds of work. And I never really, or I never really thought about it. It sort of like flew over my head somehow. I missed that one. I was absent that day. And, you know, when I finally had to sit down and grind through these things without a break, you know, with someone in whom the problem had been solved, I know that I'm different today. And so all I have to do is make adjustments for that. I don't have to look any different. I don't have to do anything differently. I just have to make adjustments for being different. And so I have my rules around food. I don't eat off little plates. I don't need standing up. I don't need finger food, etc. And I would rather shoot myself in the head than bring my food with me. So I don't do that either under any circumstances. And I no longer have anything to prove. So how did I get there? I mean, how did this woman, you know, how did, you know, the woman who was so desperate to fit in and so, you know, eager to throw away whatever I had in terms of whatever semblance, I don't like the word abstinence, but whatever could make me look like other people, why was I always throwing it away with both hands as fast as I could? And that was because I wasn't listening. That was because I still didn't believe. And, you know, life dealt me the same hand over and over and over again in higher and higher suits, until I finally said, there may be something wrong. And, you know, I was busted, broken, bleeding, and bruised. You know, I was just, you know, at the end of my rope. My life was a catastrophe. Everything was a catastrophe. But the good news is, you know, once I shut up and listened, once I did what I was told, everything in my life got better. Not only that, but the things that used to stop me in my tracks were either removed completely and are no longer issues, or they were mitigated to the point of invisibility or real manageability. I don't have any trouble with that. I know who I am today, and I know who I'm not, and I don't try to be anything other than what I am. And, you know, it tells me this. As long as we follow these few simple rules, 12 in number, as it happens. And I don't have a problem with that anymore. I have credibility with my family. I'm about to go to Europe Sunday morning for 3 weeks. And John, I anticipate, no trouble with food, no trouble with anything. And this is for everybody. There's no gold membership or silver or bronze. We all get the same. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Nance. All right, Loretta H., you're up. And then Christina J. had to jump off, but I forgot Rick yet. So Rick's going to take Christina's spot. Loretta, you are up.
Thank you, Russ, and thank you all, along with my precious God. You are saving my life. Loretta H. in North Carolina, a recovered compulsive overeater, and I know I am a real compulsive overeater. My history doesn't look like that, but it is and was. So no person thinks he is bodily or mentally, wrong sentence. Therefore, it is not surprising that our drinking, and my sponsor made me turn that to thinking. I really believe that once I am anorexic, and I have always, always coveted that, that once I got thin, and I've always was thin, that my life would be so perfect. I took a job for that reason. I ran marathons for that, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, thinking, that's where my disease lies, and the control and the willpower and all that, because I believe that, and I used it as a child at work. My father was a drunk, and if I stopped eating, he would stop yelling, and my parents would stop fighting. So I used that for 54 years to produce the solution. And then it didn't work, and somebody shared about their father's death, and prayers for her. I could not show up for my dad's death. He wanted to make amends to me for his alcoholism, and I could not show up because of this disease. And with God's grace and mercy, I came into the rooms about 6 months later. And this is a divine chapter. This is miraculous. This is the hand of God. And because of that, I was able to make amends to my dad by bringing his ashes to North Carolina from California, sending part of them to Switzerland where he was born, and having a military funeral for him. And the only way I realized that is because I know I'm hopeless. That's the dash. I'm not helpless. And with the help of my proteges, my God, I was able to carry as amend to him in a physical way where I got his flag put in my arms. And that was the greatest, greatest feeling in the world. And I know he got me here, and he loves me and knows that I am okay today. And with that, I pass. Thank you all. And the shares were fabulous.
Thanks, Loretta. Next up is Rick J.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service, brother. You had your hands full this morning. My name is Rick J. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I was really thinking about is, you know, that, you know, real alcoholic. And, you know, I used to compare myself, you know, to others. If I didn't look a certain way, that in my mind meant that you were, you know, a real compulsive eater. I would sort of body check myself and like, okay, I don't look like that, so I'm okay. And I didn't want to think that I was, you know, bodily and mentally the same. But, you know, the thing that binds me to everyone is that I am mentally different. I do have an obsession of the mind that that leads me to the thing that will kill me. And once I'm there, I can't stop because of the physical allergy. I'm bodily different too. My chemistry is different. So yeah, I also have to remember that, you know, part of the obsession is that I will someday, you know, control and enjoy my alcoholic foods, you know. And that's the insanity of, you know, doing the same thing, expecting different results, you know, the addict's definition of insanity. And, you know, that's that part of me that thinks I can, you know, control and enjoy, you know, my compulsive eating. When I look over to the beginning of the next chapter, it has a beautiful summation of this entire chapter, you know, as what a real alcoholic is, you know, we can't stop entirely, or when we start, we can't control the amount we take. But for me, that's more about denial, you know. It's, you know, don't even notice I am lying to myself. But the real insanity for me is, you know, in my world of alcoholic foods and compulsive eating, you know, is knowing exactly what's going to happen and doing it anyway and being unable to stop. And I know what's coming. I'm bracing for impact as I'm taking that first bite, but I cannot stop myself. That's the insanity. I know what's going to happen. I have no illusion about being able to control anymore or enjoy, but I'm doing it anyway. So yeah, I'm very grateful to be in a world of recovery where I know without any reservation that I am 100% powerless, my life unmanageable. But I am connected to a power now that will restore me and transform me. And with that, I pass.
All right there, Rick. Sorry about that, guys. I just got muted myself. All right. So we're going to open up the line for sharing. And the way it looks right now, we could take, let's take three more. And if you shared in the past couple of days, please step back. Who would like to share?
Kelsey, Susan,
Kelsey, I think that Anita was, and Vanita.
Anita.
Yeah, but I heard Vanita.
Oh, okay.
Neat. If we got time, you got the spot. All right, Susan, I believe it was Susan, S-H, Kelsey, maybe R, I think, and Vanita. All right, Susan, you're up.
Okay, I'm now unmuted. This is Susan S.H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful today for that back in St. Mary's, Ohio. Yeah, I got a glimpse of my emotional nature that I don't see as often as my difference in my old way of dealing with life on life's terms. And it wasn't pretty. There would be much cussing and complaining, and I so recall the brainstorm, the grouch and the brainstorm. They were so much a part of me. I took a few small lumps this week with car repairs, and I had a flat tire on my bike. Those little things that could always push me over the edge, but they don't, and it amazes me when I see it. I'm so glad I don't have to bite that hook, or my family. Or the food. I see it. I see the difference. I know that old way of life is always there for me if I choose it. But for today, I don't have to go there. And thanks to my directions and to my higher power, I didn't. There was no overreaction. Glad to see the change. And I'm so grateful for the directions that changed me. There's no way around it. It's not my doing. It's a change in me that the directions helped me find, and a relationship with a higher power that the directions helped me find. So grateful to see a change, but how well I remember my nature. Yeah, absolutely. So grateful for that, and I will pass.
Thanks, Susan. Next up is Kelsey. Oh, I think that was. I know it was
hey,
Kelsey.
Yep, it's Kelsey R. Hey, this is Kelsey R. in Texas, compulsive overeater. Thanks, everyone, for your service this morning. I love this paragraph. I love this chapter. So normal. What is normal, right? It's not normal to eat so much that you can't breathe without getting cramps. It's not normal to have heart palpitations. It's not normal to eat food out of the same trash that has a poopy diaper in it. It's not normal to put food on pantry shelves so that my children can't see it, but it's easy to access. It's not normal to pick up the solution of bulimia to control my weight gain in program so that people around me don't know that I'm in the food again. It's not normal to lose and gain the same 40 pounds plus dozens of times over 2 decades. It's not normal to have an abnormal reaction to pick up the same ingredients in foods that I know create the phenomenon of craving. But that is normal for someone who has an obsession of the mind that tells me that I'll handle it better this time, that I can enjoy a slice of birthday cake with my boys on their birthday because I want to be part of the celebration. I qualify as being a true compulsive overeater. I'm not a normal eater. I'm not a hard eater or a moderate eater, it says in the book. I'm not a hard eater. I may have been in the past, but like it says, at some point over my eating career, I have lost full control once I start to eat. I've been such an amazing recipient of the beautiful service of this program. I've known this, right? But knowing it hasn't kept me recovered. It can get me recovered, but it doesn't keep me recovered. I had a call with a fellow this week, and he asked me what the first step in recovery is. And, of course, I proudly recited step one, And he said, no, that's step one. And then he read this next paragraph of this beautiful chapter. It says, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were compulsive overeaters. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. And to concede is to admit that something is true or valid after first denying it or resisting it. And wow, that is so me. But the beauty is that the freedom becomes attainable when I fully concede. My conceding doesn't give me freedom. The transformation from working these steps that bring me to a connection with power, with a capital P. But I have to continue what I did to get that way every day, one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Kelsey. So it looks like if we could do 2.5 apiece, Benita and Anita, if you could do that. You mind?
No problem.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, Benita L., recovered compulsive overeater in Woodstock, Georgia. Super grateful for Overeaters Anonymous for teaching me that I have a body and mind that are different than other people's as an addict, which I didn't really learn that exactly till about 50s, and then got clarified when I finally got into Vision for You about 5 years or so, thank God. And yes, I love that last year where she outlined all of the insane things she was doing. And I remember when I was going to do a talk for OA, and I was talking to my daughter who may have this problem, but she said to me, Mom, and this wasn't that long ago, right? She goes, Mom, do you remember when I found you when I was like 5 years old, hiding in the closet, eating cookies? That's insane, right? A grown woman sitting in a dark closet with no light, eating cookies so her kids wouldn't be eating them because I knew it wasn't good for their health. And I was obsessed. And my main obsession was unbelievable about my weight. But I continued to be eating foods that were that I was addicted to, not realizing I was addicted. So it's been a great relief to admit, like, oh, because yesterday I was at a party, right? All these people were chowing down like all these sweets, you know, but they can stop, right? And move on. And I know I just can't start. So that's sanity. I cannot start that process again. Thank you, OA. Thank you to everybody here.
Thanks, Vanita. Anita J., you have 2 minutes. You could do 2 minutes.
Okay. This is Anita J. Thank you, Russ, for your service. I'm a compulsive overeater. Recovered by God's grace and mercy. I love how that's been said over and over. Countless vain attempts, but I didn't know they were vain attempts. Every single time I thought this time it's going to work, this time, and then it didn't. Over and over and over. And what changed? I came in 1978, pretty young back then. It wasn't until 2010 when somebody said, you ever try Vision for You? What's that? I just, ego, know-it-all, Anita. Anyway, the point is the grace of God entered in or something, and that did it. I finally learned I can't have one. You can't have one. Such a simple few words. Well, it took forever, all those attempts, and my life has changed. And I know it. People around me know it. I behave differently. And I got another second. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for all the people that are still here since I came in. You know, that's a wonderful example, knowing that this keeps lasting. And so with this, I will pass. Thank you.
All right, Anita, thank you for sharing. We thank everyone who shared for this meeting. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. Now, today's share ID, Friday, July 5th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,548. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Susan S.H. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Thank you. Susan S.H. again, still a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day with a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.